BST. Knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to the Grow Room. I'm Bob Bupka. Here at the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. We'll hear from Jay Randolph Jr. a little later in the show, and we'll also announce the winner of our Pick the Winner contest. But first, since we have witnessed something absolutely incredible, I'm bringing in two very special guests that I had the pleasure of working with on Talk Sport, covering this, the 146th Open Championship. First, let's say hello to Russell Hargraves, and joining him is Rupert Bell, a name that has been on the Grow Room many, many times. I don't even know where to begin, gentlemen. I've been to a lot of majors. I have never seen anything like this. Your thoughts initially, Russell?
I think, Bob, just the way that Jordan Spieth appeared utterly lost at one point in the round. His shots were just flying left, right and centre and anywhere but straight. And I guess you'd just call it the mental fortitude and also the clarity of thought to get the job done. I think of the 13th where it ended up in the range effectively, trying to take a drop in between the trucks and then just working out the best way to engineer the most sort of favourable situation he could. And then somehow only dropping one shot. And then his response from there to pick up, what, five shots in his next four holes was absolutely phenomenal. That was the moment. He kind of blew the field away, effectively, despite Matt Kuchar's best efforts, and went on to win the coveted Claret Jug. It was absolutely incredible golf that ebbed and flowed with the highest of drama. So different to last year, but in its own way, no less compelling.
You know, it's amazing, Rupert. Jordan Spieth is five over par after 13 holes, hitting it left and right, as Russell suggested. And it certainly didn't look like he had the type of golf that came forth from 14 on. Try and describe that action.
Well, I almost think, bizarrely, that 18, 19 minutes when he was trying to sort out what was going on with his ball, which from the practice range, which I've never seen anything like it in terms of where he was trying to end. He was trying to move out club manufacturers' vehicles and everything. It was an amazing bit of drama. But then I think when he got away with that bogey, he suddenly goes, I've just used my biggest get-out-of-jail card. I'm still in this. I could have had a double bogey. I could have had a triple bogey and been out of sight. That was almost like the biggest kick up his backside that he needed. And then that tee shot on 14 was brilliant to 2 feet. Then 15 for the second time to get that eagle. The calmness and holding a monster putt. And then he gets another birdie on 16. Just an amazing response. And then he follows up at 17. The guy is a phenomenon at 23 to be able to do that. Because I thought at the start, and we were watching it together, Bob, that he was mentally in a different place, and he wasn't on a golf course, because that was just almost a Masters type meltdown.
One of the questions that's guaranteed to surface, had it been anybody other than Jordan Spieth in that situation where he had to take an unplayable lie, would they have allowed any other player in the field that amount of time? And I'm only saying this because I did feel a little bit of sympathy for Matt Kuchar. He had to wait in the fairway. That hole took 29 minutes. I've never seen a golf hole take 29 minutes. So did Jordan Spieth get the benefit of the doubt?
Well, I think he got the benefit of the final pairing in an Open Championship. It would have been any other player. I think not only was Jordan Spieth at that time a rabbit in the headlights, I think everybody else was like a rabbit in headlights wondering, what the heck is going on? And John Paramore, who is the referee on hand, is one of the most experienced in the world, if not the most experienced. Even he was probably thinking, I haven't seen anything like this, and was probably thinking, what is going on? I think that was, it could have been anybody. I don't know whether Kuchar could have got the benefit of the doubt, but to see him doing a warm-up was extraordinary.
And Kuchar, as well, as you said in some of your very eloquent description of it, Bob, at the time, almost writing a letter home. He was kind of just fiddling around with his scorecard and trying to do anything that he could to pass the time. It was obviously far from ideal for his point of view, but as Rupert says, the fact the pair were in the last group, I guess it did give them that degree of extra latitude. They were on the clock. This, I guess, technically wouldn't count for that. And in the end, it was part of this rich tapestry of a quite remarkable 146th Open Championship.
You know, guys, what's really bizarre, prior to it taking 29 minutes to play that hole, the officials actually approached the final twosome, Matt Kuchar and Jordan Spieth, and said, you guys got to speed it up. You're playing too slow. And right after that, we have the longest hole in history.
Well, that's why I think, you know, Russell alluded to it as well. You know, last year we had a different kind of sporting drama. We had the equivalent of what was the Duel in the Sun. This one, we had two people seemingly imploding, Kuchar keeping calm, Spieth then suddenly finding a quality that Jack Nicklaus was immediately reacting to and saying, wow, and there's the greatest of all time, thinking Spieth has just produced a performance that rates to something that he's done. If Jack Nicklaus was moved by it, and you know Jack, then you know, we can be impressed, but if Jack was impressed, that sums up what Spieth's response was over those final six holes.
I'm glad you mentioned Jack Nicklaus's name, because he is associated with what transpired here today. This accomplishment by Jordan Spieth, he only becomes the second player in golf history, guys, to win three majors prior to the age of 24. You know, Russell, that type of achievement is really hard to put into perspective.
It is, and you just think, Bob, that Tiger Woods was, I think, 24 and a half when he managed the exact same thing. Obviously, Jack and Jordan Spieth are two, in one sense, maybe similar characters, but in another, very, very different beasts. And Jordan is so much his own man, isn't he? And you just think about the journey he's been on to have won those two majors in 2015, as he did, to nearly win the Claret Jug that year at St Andrews as well, and narrowly miss out, as he did, to Zach Johnson, to then go through all the drama and heartbreak and setback of Augusta in 2016. And as he told us a couple of days into this Open, he is a slightly perhaps more rounded person as a result of what happened then. It's not changed him massively, but just a sum of these experiences and you just incrementally improve. And as Rupert said, he was lost mentally, a rabbit in the headlights for huge amounts of this round. Fortuitously or not, the opportunity was put back into his hands, and this time he took it. You think of Seve Ballesteros, who was a little younger at 22 when he won his first Open. Jordan is a very commendable, very impressive young man at 23. And you just think, if he can maybe sort out one or two issues with his mental approach, the world could yet be his oyster moving forward to win many more of these things.
Yeah, Bob, in terms of calmness on a course, when you saw the first 3 days, I sort of saw it like a zen-like calmness, the way he didn't bother anything. The only thing is, he obviously had 24 hours. Somewhere there was the Masters of 2015 was clearly ringing around between his ears because he was only 23. Was that the showing that he's still a young man?
Yeah, and I think so. But the one thing that Jordan did, which I thought was very wise, he alluded to that collapse. In case people forget, 2 years ago, he had a 5-shot lead with 9 holes to go at the Masters and then imploded on that par 3 12th hole. But he clearly stated, since I have been through that, since I have endured that massive amount of disappointment, I can handle anything that's going to happen today. I don't think in his wildest dreams he ever thought that he would be 5 over par after 13 holes. I mean, that's just ludicrous.
But, and also, you know him well and have seen him develop, you know, his family set up, you know, with his family. He is so grounded. This is only a sport. This is not real life. That sets him apart, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think there's a trend in major championships that to me is pretty alarming. This is the second, you know, 2 years ago at the U.S. Open, there was a huge discussion about a rules violation. Now we come here and nobody knows exactly what's going on. The announcers on NBC TV literally referring to it as a circus out there. I mean, Jordan Spieth trying to control the gallery. John Paramore offering Jordan Spieth a drop right between two equipment trucks. I mean, I'm watching things and I'm thinking this is not really happening.
Well, it made great TV drama, but the RNA probably wasn't even, that part of the course probably wasn't even on their radar to call it out of bounds or anything, because there obviously was a reaction. The whole thing probably took them by surprise. When was the it was Seve, like, probably playing a shot from there. I don't know where, you know, Seve was talking about playing from car parks when he was winning Opens. Spieth has done something similar in an area that probably should be out of bounds.
And it didn't maybe quite have the flair and flamboyance of Seve in one sense, because Jordan Spieth is not that kind of guy or that kind of player. But as we said before, it's that clarity of thought to work out what to do in that situation, to use it vaguely to his advantage and then to kick on, that I think really has set him apart more than anything.
We have Jordan Spieth standing by with some of his comments. I want to say one other thing. It just came to me. Most times, and I think maybe every time that I've been at a major championship, the driving range is literally out of bounds. So he would not be given that option to go play from the driving range.
Therein lies, I am sure, you know, in the weeks, maybe the days, there will be, the RNA will be looking at that, and they will be taking, you know, a long, hard look at it and say, did we get anything wrong? And I'm sure they will. Unlike the USGA, when you've had it US Opens and some of these other things, these rule things from TV, analysis by TV, this is a difference, and now they've set up the course. I think it was a one-off, but I'm sure they will be trying to guarantee that this doesn't happen again.
Let's listen to the winner of the 146th Open Championship.
Boy, this was eventful, but you know, there's a lot of roads to get there. And today was a, you know, I was put in a tough one early on and showed some resiliency and owe a lot of credit to my guy on the bag for that, because as you can imagine, thoughts come in from my last scenario when I was leading a major on Sunday and never mentioned it, but you know, it's all of a sudden it's creeps into your head. Wow. You know, I was so confident and all of a sudden, the wheels had kind of come off everything. And how do we get back on track to salvage this round and just give yourself a chance at the end? And it took a bogey to do so. I felt once I lost my lead completely and we were tied, I actually felt the nerves go away for a few holes until I got the lead again, and then they were back. And it's just kind of, you know, powering through that. You just don't know really what your mind's going to do to you sometimes. You can control it to an extent, but certain situations are going to bring more tension, and you have to kind of channel that the right way, play the right shots. And that was a difficult thing to do today because it was just so up and down. Today took as much out of me as any day that I've ever played golf.
That was the voice of Jordan Spieth. Obviously, over the moon on that victory, as he certainly has every right to be. Somewhat disappointed, but he should be proud of the way he played. Matt Kuchar finished second in this major championship and handled himself like a gentleman, but that's the only way Matt Kuchar knows how to do it. Let's give a listen.
It's crushing. It hurts. And there's an excitement and a thrill to have played well, put up a battle, put up a fight. You work so hard to get to this position and to have a chance to make history and to win a championship. You don't get that many opportunities. And to be this close, to taste it with five holes to go, it's a hard one to sit back and take.
Not only was a record set by Jordan Spieth, Russell, as far as winning his third major, we had a score that has never been shot in a major championship before, the unbelievable performance of Brandon Grace. Talk us through that one.
It was incredible, wasn't it, Bob? A 62 finally happened. There had been 31 63s in major championship history. Now 32, because, of course, the young Chinese Lee shot one on the final day as well. But Brandon Grace out in 29, and a phenomenal end to his round as well. And a great up and down at 18 to get the 62. Didn't even realise, the South African at the time, what was on the cards. He was focusing on getting himself back into the championship hunt at the Open. His caddy, a couple of the other fellow pros said to him at the end of his round, look what you have done. And a wonderful experience to be here and see that one happening live, I've got to say, Bob. And good on him. It's finally happened after tens and thousands of rounds of major championship golf.
Rupert, let's bring in the thoughts that you have of Rory McIlroy. You know, he came into the week, missed two straight cuts, played relatively well, could have made a fantastic run in the fourth and final round. It just, all the pieces right now, I got to say, are not there for Rory McIlroy. You agree?
Well, it got away in the first hour of his first round. He was suddenly five over after six holes. He needed a metaphorical kick up the backside by his caddy, JP. And if you look, he finished five under. He definitely had his chances. But he just seemed to lose momentum. If there was a setback, he just looked so dejected. And that's my worry. Because he really should. If he'd been level par through those six holes, he would have been right in the mix on that final day. And even there was a brief moment on that final two holes, he gets an eagle at 17, that he might have been able to get into potential playoff with Hao Tang Li. Amazing round from the young Chinese player. But that is my worry. Has he got the concentration levels for the full 18? That doesn't seem to be happening at the moment.
3 years as well since Rory has now won a major, of course, the PGA to come, which is one of his favourite courses. So we'll see how he responds as well.
And before we wrap up this portion of the Grill Room, certainly want to wish Sergio Garcia the very best. He'll be getting married by the time we bring the Grill Room back on the air again. Congratulations to Sergio Garcia. Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, all those guys did not make a serious run at this championship. In the end, it was just a very special week for Jordan Spieth. Rupert Bell, I want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you all week. Same for you, Russell Hargraves. Both you guys are broadcasting pros. It's been a real pleasure. Now it's time in the Grill Room to hear from a special guest. There's like 50 different openings I have in my head to welcome our next guest, but his name is Samir Khan, and new distributorship in the UK for Vertical Groove Golf with the Vertical Groove driver, which just recently won our United States Senior Open. You have to be awfully excited about this product, otherwise you would not have opened this distributorship.
Yeah, we're extremely excited about it, and the longer time goes by, the excitement builds as more and more people are using it on the Champions Tour. We're hoping to engage with some people on the European Tour to start using it, and the coverage really has been extremely good and a very positive environment to launch this fantastic product in.
You know, it's amazing. In the golf world, every time you round a corner, somebody has a bigger, better, easier, you know, you pick the adjective, product to make you or allow you to play this game better. And 99.9% of them are somewhat of a gimmick, and they don't stand the test of time. This product, when I was introduced to it in January, I said, wow, this really works. No gimmicks. You hit it further, you hit it straighter. Witnessed by Kenny Perry winning, John Daly winning. I mean, in the first 6 months, for a new driver to win two events, one of being a major, it's just unheard of.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, the last 2 months, two victories, fantastic for us. Obviously, John's here now at the Open in Birkdale, hoping good things with it. The unfortunate thing, I guess, to a degree, is that the driver won't be out the bag that much, given the course and the conditions. But no, we've got great hopes for it as well over here.
And, of course, if people want to avail themselves of this latest technology, if they want to hit it further than anybody in their foursome, maybe a little straighter than anybody in their foursome, how can they give us the information on your website?
We've set up a new website dedicated entirely to the Vertical Groove driver. You can find it at verticalgroove.co.uk. You choose your configuration of the club that you want, the different loft you want, the shaft you want, and you'll be delighted to have done so.
Basically, custom tailor a driver for your own specifications and your own likeness. And how long will it take for a driver to arrive?
Within a matter of 2 to 3 days. Yeah, we'll have you out there playing straighter on the fairways and being in the fairway more often.
I want to thank Samir Khan and wish him well. And John Daly, guess what? He'll be using that Vertical Groove driver in this week's Senior British Open Championship being played over in Wales. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. And now for some exciting news. The new face of golf? Well, that's going to be in the golf bag of Peter Sonsky, a longtime Grill Room listener and always puts in entries in our contest, he finally got lucky and had his name drawn out of the hat of the many entries that picked Jordan Spieth to win the Open Championship. Peter, you win yourself a vertical groove driver. Janice will be in touch, and you better warn your friends, you're going to be hitting it further, and you're going to be hitting it straighter. On a much more somber note, our condolences go out to the Bob Watson family. Longtime golf professional, absolutely set the standard for anybody that went into the business, tutored many, many young professionals along the way. All I can say is, hey boys, upstairs, you better get ready. A real stick is coming your way. Right now, let's take a short break. We'll get Jay's reflection on the bizarre happenings at the Open Championship when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
All right, this is the part of the show that I've been waiting for. As you know, Jay, unable to make it with us across the pond to Royal Birkdale, but he certainly had plenty of opportunity to observe what's going on. And I got to be honest with you, Jay Bird, I can't wait for your reaction because I've listened to many different reactions since it happened. What were your thoughts?
Well, I tweeted out, Bob, in a matter of 30 minutes that Jordan Spieth had stunned me twice. One time he stunned me in a bad way. The other time he stunned me in an incredible way. I was amazed at what happened. It looked like he was letting this championship and the claret jug slip away from his hands, and Matt Kuchar was going to get his first major championship. And then on a turn of a dime, he recaptures what we've seen from this young man, and that putting stroke and the length of putts that he made. And it really was an amazing win. I think it's one that'll be talked about for a long time, because I think we're going to talk about a guy that has a very good chance to get to double digit majors, which is something we don't say very often. I thought it was unbelievable. And you were lucky to be there.
Jay, I want to go back. First off, to Saturday's round, they had deliberately moved the tees up. The golf course played 128 yards shorter than it does for the members. And I, quite honestly, had a lot of time coming to grips with that. I mean, why a major championship being decided and it's playing easier than when members tee it up in their Sunday four ball? I didn't quite understand that.
Well, both you and I have been surprised at the type of numbers that we're seeing at major championships now. It's going to be interesting, a place that you and I have been a number of times, Quail Hollow, for the PGA Championship, which a lot of times at a PGA Tour event has been 5 to 8 under is the total. I think it's taking time for you and I to grasp that we're going to start seeing or maybe start seeing. I know we've talked about some of the venues coming up for the U.S. Open being difficult to get to under par like we've seen. But I was surprised. I mean, when you started seeing the scoring on Saturday, you know, it just, again, didn't have quite the feel of major championships that you and I've come to know.
Yeah, you're right about that. And you know, I guess I'm the old school, and I think you're in attendance with me on that, Jay. You know, I liked it when, you know, the best players in the world were given a thorough examination, and then we would come out with a deserving champion. And I'm not saying that Jordan Spieth's not a deserving champion. I'm just saying that I wish that the challenge was a little greater for these, the best players in the world. Now, we're going to run out of time rapidly, Jay, and I need whatever your thoughts are on, it's a pretty amazing time in golf right now. We have three players, Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, and Rory McIlroy, all one shy away from winning, you know, all four of golf's majors, and they're all three different ones. Obviously, Phil with the Open, Rory McIlroy at the Masters, and now Jordan Spieth with the PGA Championship. It's an incredible time in history to have three guys in that position.
I had a bunch of St. Louis folks, Bob, send me texts or Facebook message saying, hey, maybe Jordan will get his career Grand Slam at Belrive, like Gary Player did in 1965 when he won the U.S. Open, Belrive the venue next year. It's fascinating that we are going to have a stretch, and who knows how long it will go, because it's, you know, it's easy to say, oh, Jordan, he's going to get the PGA, but, you know, ask Arnold about the PGA. I mean, it's one of those things that's very fascinating when you get to a point where you've got three guys going for something that is such a pinnacle and so rare in our game. I think it's awesome. And it's the boost for those championships each year leading up to it is huge.
That's a good point there, Jay, because certainly the PGA Championship in just a matter of a few weeks was injected with lots of pre-tournament hype. Because of the prospect of Jordan Spieth going down there. But you made such a great point in the reference to Arnold Palmer. You know, people think, oh, well, yeah, Jordan Spieth will win a PGA championship. Well, as you alluded to, Arnold Palmer never won a PGA championship. Nancy Lopez never won a U.S. Open championship. Phil Mickelson never won a U.S. Open championship. And the list goes on. Greg Norman, you know, if you're going to take the position yep. that Rory McIlroy is guaranteed to win a Masters, what happened to Greg Norman? He didn't get one. Ernie Els never got one. I mean, so you have to pay proper respect to the magnitude of these major championships, because they're just not that easy to come by.
No, it's rarefied air. There is no question about it. And it was nice to see Rory play some good golf. I know he didn't have the full tournament like he wanted, but good to see him with a lot of questions coming in to the week. And we know how strong this game is right now, and the youth is still coming. The youth is still going to be served while these guys are mapping out tremendous careers. Well, Bob, as we congratulate Jordan Spieth, we also congratulate Peter Sonsky. Big props to him out of all the entries drawn out of the hat. A lot of folks had Jordan Spieth. Peter was our winner of our contest. Bob had an opportunity to catch up with Tony Jacklin during the British Open. And when we return, we'll hear Bob's conversation with the Hall of Famer. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis, on TuneIn, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iTunes, and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy
Well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
It's an honor for me. He's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. He won the Open Championship. He won our U.S. Open. He's the last Englishman ever to win an Open Championship on English soil. You know his name from those clues. He's Tony Jacklin. And he's actually here as the ambassador for Glenn Morangie.
That's right.
Well, it was a great career for Tony Jacklin. Winner on the European Tour, winner on the PGA Tour, winner on the PGA Champions Tour. What do you miss the most about competing on a regular basis?
The discipline of it all. You know, you had to be so disciplined when you were playing. I prided myself in that. It was the discipline of it all. You get up, you're not allowed to make mistakes if you can help it. So you did everything in your power. You were doing all the time to eliminate that. You were thinking all the time, obviously getting enough rest and doing the whole, your tea time determined how you would spend the early part of the day if it was a late tea time. And conversely, if you had an early tea time, you had to be in bed early and all the rest. I miss that. You know, now I'm sort of observing, just watching the game. I suppose it's the discipline I miss most. And of course, this golf course is synonymous with one of the great moments when Nicklaus conceded the putt for the first tie in Ryder Cup history in 69. And I remember it like it was yesterday, although it's almost 50 years ago now. It was a great moment in our game, and a great moment in sportsmanship. Jack and I go back a long time. So Trevino nipped me here. Mr. Lou finished second to him in 71, but I was third in there with a shout. I've got fond memories here. I played when Thompson played and won in 65. This is one of, if not the best, links course in England. It's certainly up there in the first two or three. It's a great test of golf and a great place to be. I'm very happy to be here this week.
You know, Tony Jacklin, what amazes me about Royal Birkdale, it doesn't seem, you know, it's been here for a long, long time, and yet these are the best players in the world with the latest, greatest as far as technology. But the golf course doesn't have to apologize to anyone.
No, that's right. It's fascinating to see some of the clubs that these lads are hitting into the holes. You know, we were hitting four and three irons in 2 years ago, and they're hitting eight and nine irons in two now. And that is the remarkable thing.
Tony, this past year we did lose Arnold Palmer. I know you had tremendous respect for him. You were lucky enough to be a competitor against him and watch him, and we all know what he contributed to this game. But truly, it'd be difficult for you or anybody to put into words, but Arnold Palmer was indeed one of a kind.
Oh, there's no question about that. He was golf. I mean, he was Mr. Golf. And, of course, it was his win here in 61 that really was instrumental in getting the RNA to come over to the to America and go to the Masters and go to the US Open, go to the PGA and see how these great events were put on. And it was that win that came at the beginning of television. It was so important for certainly this championship, but for world golf as a whole. But this championship, really, you can draw a line beyond Arnold winning and the RNA, to their eternal credit, taking a delegation over to America and just to see how these major events needed to be portrayed. The rest's history, you know, and Arnold will always be a big, big part of that.
Well, Bob, great to hear your chat with Tony Jacklin. You know, you think about how global the game is now, and really Tony was one of the few guys that would come over here and play, and, you know, he's got to be amazed at the global aspect of the game. And then to be, you know, at Royal Birkdale, where, you know, Arnold Palmer won the British Open and really changed the way Americans view the British Open. Two great legends.
Well, it certainly was a lot of fun to catch up with Tony Jacklin. And as you alluded to, he was one of the initial globetrotters that brought the game back and forth across the pond. And I'll tell you what, Jay, he looked pretty good, even though you and I may have our vertical groove driver in the bag. I'm not so sure that I'd want to tee it up against Tony Jacklin.
No, he's kept himself in very good condition. He's a fun-loving guy, and you know, he's also meant so much to the Ryder Cup experience over the years. And that's one of the great things about our game, Bob. I know when you get to see people like Tony Jacklin that you've covered and known, it brings a smile to your face, and it also brings a smile to their face. It's part of what makes our game so special.
And, of course, coming up this week, the RBC Canadian Open. And I can't help but think back to, you know, what an unbelievable year it was, Jay, when Lee Trevino, back in 1971, he won the United States Open, went over and won the Open Championship, and then came back and won the Canadian Open, only player ever to do so. When you think of winning three national championships, and I mean big ones, in a relatively short period of time like Lee did, it's pretty fascinating.
No, and he holds that in great esteem. He's got great pride about that. You know, you talk to him about stretches of golf, and that was his best, and he relishes it. We've got Canadian Adam Hadwin in the field, Harris English, Dustin Johnson, Grayson Murray, Ernie Els, Ian Poulter. Pretty good field the week after a major. The Canadian Open still is a powerful event. And this year at Glen Abbey, Bob, back to Glen Abbey.
Yeah, one of the great golf courses up in Canada. And certainly they have a great tournament director by the name of Bill Paul. And he came over with the charter that flew out of John Deere. Brand new plane, by the way, seats 95, but every seat is a full bed. And if you get up and take a walk around, they come and make up your bed while you're out of it. So I said to Bill Paul, I said, boy, what a way to fly. And he said, it's amazing. He said about one-third of the players on the plane, about 30 of them, they were sleeping within 30 minutes of takeoff, and they didn't get up until the plane landed. I mean, how tough is it on these guys? Hey, go take a nap. We'll wake you up in London.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.